Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Tony.
Hey, buddy, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
It's been such a long time. I hope you're well.
Well, it's really indeed such a long time. I think we're speaking for the first time this year. Have you been good?
Everything all right, man. How's that?
No, man, all the things are good here. Weather is fantastic. And of course, the life problems are generally over there, but we are good. We are definitely good.
That is awesome.
Right. Now, Tony, you know, over the next 2 weeks, we will be discussing life after recovery from addiction and beginning with the common obstacles and challenges. So successfully completing a drug and alcohol rehab program and re-entering society as a sober individual does not come without its own unique challenges. And so understanding some of the common challenges people face in addiction recovery may provide a clearer insight into a life in recovery. So let's understand, Tony, please take us through this challenges and process.
So addiction happens in all different forms of ways. You know, there's addiction to substances, which is, you know, alcohol, drugs, and all of that.
Mm.
And there's addiction to things like pornography. There's addiction to sex itself. There's addiction to shopping.
Mm.
There's addiction to social media. You know, all of these things are things that these are different forms of addiction that affect, you know, people, Christians and non-Christians alike.
Mm-hmm.
And to come to a place where they can say they have overcome an addiction, you know, it takes a lot of I believe it takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of discipline.
Mm.
It takes a lot of willpower to get to a place where one can say, I'm free from something. And unfortunately, that process is not an easy one.
Mm.
Because what happens when we get into addictions is that addictions primarily happen when we are running away from something.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a feeling that you are experiencing, it could be trauma, or maybe you are suffering from depression, or you are constantly feeling anxiety or stressed out. You know, all of those feelings are not pleasant. So human beings being wired for the good stuff, we will run to the nearest thing that will take us out of that experience. Usually people run to the wrong things, unfortunately. They will run to things like alcohol, you know, sex, social media, you know, all kinds of things. So the process of addiction involves training your brain to respond to the feeling you're trying to run away from, to respond in a certain way. So alcohol becomes, let's use alcohol for this example, for this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say alcohol becomes the thing that temporarily takes me out of my experience, right?
Mm.
And I feel temporarily good because, you know, alcohol is dopamine inducing.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that induces dopamine in your brain feels good, although it's temporary. But because you keep going back to it, because you haven't dealt with the root issue, you then create a dependency in your brain. So literally in your brain, you create neural pathways in your brain, which then gets to depend on alcohol, you know, for you to function. So you're running away from a problem, and then you created a bigger problem by trying to solve the smaller problem. So the process of undoing that neural pathway in your brain is one of the most difficult things that can do, that anybody can do. And for someone who is trying to recover from it, obviously, because you've trained your brain and your body and your emotion to depend on this thing, they will want to drag you back to that thing that's, you know, some people call it withdrawal symptoms and all of that. But I want to pause here and talk about something key in the process of recovery, which is the only, I sincerely believe that there's absolutely no one under the sun who can overcome an addiction without addressing their relationship with God.
Yes.
Because that's where it depends. So the void that you are trying to fill up with the substance is a God-shaped void. And I'm not trying to spiritualize things. This is a practical thing. Because human beings are created with body, spirit, and soul, mm-hmm. right? So the thing that takes the place of God is what becomes the addiction. But in reality, we are supposed to be addicted to the Creator, right? I need you to follow me.
So
because we run to the wrong thing, it becomes our subject of worship. So it becomes our altar. So alcohol becomes the altar. Sex becomes the altar. A relationship becomes the altar. Social media becomes the altar. So the only way to dethrone that thing that has become the altar in your life, you have to replace it with God.
Okay.
Which is why secular therapy is limited when it comes to addictions, because you remove something from the altar without replacing it with the maker of the model, which is God. So I find it difficult to recommend therapy that does not involve God in it. Because God is supposed to take that place. So the simple process of breaking an addiction is removing one altar and building another. Not literally building, but you're just shifting your focus from the wrong altar
and refocusing,
putting God in that place. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, you are making sense.
So the Bible says that we are fleshly in nature and we are fallen in our flesh. So because we are fallen in our flesh, addiction or not, we constantly have this pull to take all these things that are pleasing to the flesh, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be very difficult to undo that. In fact, it's a lifelong battle. The lifelong battle is not giving in to what the flesh wants and giving in to what the spirit wants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for someone who, I'm getting to the gist of this conversation
now.
So for somebody who is going to deal with an addiction, their biggest struggle is going to be their flesh. Because their flesh is conditioned to the thing that they've created a dependency on. And also understanding that it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, because most people want overnight success. But we build addictions over time.
True.
Years even. I know people that have been addicted for 20 years, 10 years, 15 years or whatever. So why would you expect victory in a week or a month or 6 months? So you've got to, A, understand that it's a process, and God means it for that to be like that, because if it was so easy to get over, why wouldn't you go back to it? You would. But if you saw how hard it is to climb the mountain, you're less likely to go back to that thing, because God is teaching you a lesson to say that you will not go back to Egypt and go back to bondage, because you saw how horrible it was, and you saw how hard it was to come out, 400 years. So the process is meant to be difficult. So when you understand that this is a process which is meant to be difficult, when you then have bad days and you fall back into the thing, you are not discouraged. You don't beat yourself up over it. You understand that this is a process, as long as you get back up and you keep pushing and looking at the mountain and taking each day as it comes. It's a daily process. It's a daily struggle, you know. Every single day you have to be in the battle. So the temptation to go back is going to be there, number one. Understand that it's going to be a daily struggle. And that's okay. Because you've taken time to build this thing.
Yes.
You're going to have to take time to dethrone it. So understanding those principles makes it easier and less discouraging for people when they fall back when they then fall back into their old ways and all these things. So having that mindset of being process oriented and not being event oriented, there's not going to be a day when you wake up and the thing is gone. It's going to be a day to day process. And you're going to be, to have to be disciplined to not give in to the thing and rather focus on God. I'm going to have to emphasize the focus on God, because just taking your attention off the thing is not going to help you. I hope all of this is making sense.
Yeah. Well, it is making sense. It's making sense. It's not easy, especially we're a people who look for quick solutions. We want microwave solutions, and so we want to get this thing out as quickly as possible.
There's no such thing when it comes to addiction recovery. It's a very long and painful process.
Mm.
And understanding that about the battle goes a long way before you even get into the battle, because we expect, and a lot of the times your motive as well for wanting to give up this thing is very important.
Yeah,
you know, what is the motive for you wanting to give up this thing? Mm. Is this motive, is your motive, is it self-centered? What I mean by that is, are you doing this so that you can look good because this thing was causing you shame and guilt and you're starting to look bad amongst fellow Christians? Is that your motive? If that is your motive, then you're not going to go far, because the motive has to be, I want to give up this thing because I understand in the core of my being that God hates sin.
Mm.
And I have to bring him glory, because the body must glorify God.
You know, I
that is the motive.
Yes, and I like the emphasis that you keep making. For one to successfully beat addiction, they have got to dethrone it by putting God back to the throne, because that addiction came by dethroning God in the first place.
Exactly. So over the years, what you did was, because every single human being has the need to worship. We were created with the need to worship something.
Mm-hmm.
So every single one of us, as 6 billion people on the planet, is worshiping something.
Mm.
There is not a single person who is not worshiping anything. So it's either it's your job that you're worshiping, or it's money that you're worshiping, or it's the addiction, the thing that is causing problem in your life, is the thing that you're worshiping. Some people worship their wives. Some people worship their family. Some people worship their careers, you know. We are always looking for something to replace. We need something in the place of worship, because we are created with that capacity and the need to worship. So what I'm simply saying is, put God back in his place and everything else will work out.
Seems to be easier said than done, because here's a person who is struggling from this addiction, and they want to go to rehab. They want to make sure that they kill this addiction. And you're saying, first step, put God back onto the throne. But much as it is easier said than done, how practical is it, though? Because here's a person, for instance, who's been doing drugs for the longest time and completely dependent. If they've not taken them, they start shaking. And then you say to them, well, you've got to put God first. How are they going to do that?
So as much as this is such a tricky one, because I don't want to sound like I am over-spiritualizing anything, because there's a place for practical steps and there's a place for spiritual stuff, you know. The nature of addiction is spiritual.
Okay.
First and foremost.
All right.
So dealing with it in the flesh is not going to take you very far.
Okay.
Because you are created as, you are, whether you or not you believe in Jesus or God, it doesn't matter, but you are a spiritual being.
Mm.
And the nature of addiction is spiritual. So you cannot put someone through a program which only deals with the flesh and ignores completely the spiritual. That would not work. And I say this as someone who's been in this line of work in the secular sphere and also in the Christian sphere. And I've come to the conclusion that there's not much you can do without involving God in it. Because we are created by Him, every single human being. So there's a place for the maker in all this equation. And there's a place for discipline, which is the day-to-day, you know, the cutting off of influences and the things that trigger you. That is your part. But for all of that to even work, if you want something to work in the long term, you have to involve God. Because He's your maker, whether you believe it, you believe in Him or you don't, you're
So ideally, because as a person who works in this and has worked in this space for quite a while, how does one do that? Do they read the Bible every day? How do they put God first in the most practical way?
Sure, I wish we had an hour to deal with this, because right now I'm just completing a program that I'm putting together. It's a Christian program for recovery, which involves, you know, people who are addicted to sex and people that are addicted to alcohol. So I'm actually rounding off the course now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of steps. I'm sure we will have enough time maybe next week to go through them like one by one.
I see.
But the conversation that I wanted to do today is bring awareness to the struggles that you should look out for when you're coming out of this thing.
I see. Yes. And so what are these struggles?
In another conversation. Yes. And then when you are, I'm making you aware. It's like me sending you into the forest and say, listen, you're going to meet a lion, but when you do, don't freak out. It's a forest. You're going to come across one. This is what you do when you come across a lion. So instead of not going into the forest and say, oh, I'm not telling you not to go, I'm just telling you what to look out for. So what we can then do next week maybe is to go through the step-by-step process of dealing with, for example, triggers when they happen. How do you cut off? How do you remove yourself from the things that were driving and feeding into this thing that has led to your addiction?
I see. Well, Tony Friday, I must thank you so much for joining us. Very important conversation, extremely, extremely important. I think that everyone who has a family, a child, a parent, or even themselves struggling from this, really has to make sure that they join us in this conversation. But for today, I do want to thank you so much for coming through.
Not a problem, and we'll catch up next week.
Thank you so much. Blessings.
Cheers.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.